And it's time for All Things Gardening with Charlie Nardozzi. Hi, Charlie.
Hi, Mary.
Well, Charlie, it's well known, at least around my house, that I have the palate of a toddler. The only fig I've ever experienced is in the Newton form. That doesn't mean I can't change and embrace trying something new, like a fresh fig from a homegrown fig tree. And I understand you're going to share with us how to successfully grow figs in Vermont.
Yes. You know, I was downstairs looking at our figs that are overwintering in our basement, and they actually are putting on a little growth already, so that's a whole nother issue. But I thought that it'd be nice to share my successes that I've had with figs over the years. I've been growing them for about 7 or 8 years now in containers, and I get a bunch of figs every fall. So if you want to start with figs, growing them indoors in this time of year, and then, of course, outdoors during the summer, probably in the spring, it's good to go to a garden center and look for a couple different varieties. I grow the brown turkey variety and the Celeste variety. There's another one called Petit Nigri, which is a dwarf variety. And Hardy Chicago is another good one. These are all varieties that are very container-oriented, meaning that they grow well in containers and can be pruned and stay a reasonable size. Once you have your variety, then you just grow it in a little pot, based on the size of the plant, of course. And as it gets bigger over the years, you'll be using bigger and bigger pots. Our pots are about 20 inches in diameter, and that's about as big as I want to get because we got to haul them around, and it gets pretty heavy. But once they're in those bigger pots growing like that, in the springtime, we will pull these guys out probably in April or so from our basement, and then I'll do something called root pruning, where I will pull out the whole plant out of the container. I will take a saw and cut off some of the roots all the way around the plant, and that does a couple things. What it does is it stimulates new growth, which will be new feeder roots, which are taking up a lot of water and nutrients, and it keeps the plant dwarf. And so then I will mix up a mix of organic potting soil with some compost, a little organic fertilizer, some lime, mix all that up, put it back in the pot with this new potting soil, and then keep it really well watered all summer. And so I put it on the south side of our garage. It loves the heat. The more heat you can give figs, the better. And it'll just grow really happily with the leaves. And then eventually, by late summer, you start getting little figs. And you know they're ready to harvest when they start drooping a little bit. And if you have the brown turkey, it turns a little bit of a brownish color. And it's soft. And then we get 50, 60, 70 figs per tree every year. After that's done in the fall, just let the leaves yellow. You can even take a little frost. It's okay, but don't let the temperatures get down into the low 20s. And then eventually move it either into a garage or shed or into a basement somewhere where the temperatures are ideally around freezing or maybe up to 40. Our basement's a little too warm. It's around 50, so that's why they leaf out a little bit earlier. But if you do that year after year, you could have figs for a long time.
Oh, that is amazing. So I also understand that possibly we could see figs up close in person. You want to talk about your trip coming up to Italy?
Yeah, I was also thinking about figs because one of the places I'll be going this October is Puglia, Italy. And this will be a garden and cultural tour of that area. And one of the gardens we're going to is the Pomona Botanical Garden, and they have over 600 varieties of figs. And we'll learn all about the different varieties that are there. We'll learn how they grow them. But most importantly, we'll be tasting them. Yeah, and we'll be doing cooking classes with them and all that kind of fun. You know, this trip is going to be really interesting because it's a part of Italy most people don't go to. It's on that west coast, the heel of the boot, if you look on a map. And it has whitewashed villages with beautiful blue skies, blue Adriatic Sea water and beaches, and a lot of culture. It kind of reminds you a little of Greece, but it's the Italian culture that is embedded there. So we'll be doing cooking classes. We'll be going to UNESCO World Heritage Sites. We'll be touring around these little villages and going to wineries too. So it's a lot of fun. We'll leave a link in the All Things Gardening page if you want to come down and take a look at it and join us next fall.
That sounds fabulous. Well, Charlie, we've got a question from Douglas in Underhill, and he writes to say, I am trying to build up a strong population of native mason bees. I'm wondering how I should prune for maximum flowers. He says, I don't care much about setting fruit, but I want to provide food for my mason bees. Do you have any suggestions for Douglas and Underhill?
Yeah, that's a great idea to really try to encourage mason bees because they are much more efficient pollinators than the honeybee. A couple mason bees can pollinate a whole apple tree. So if you can have the nesting boxes set up for them and have a lot of flowers, that's great. As far as pruning those wild apple trees or any trees that you have, it's really the same as if you were pruning them for fruit production. What you want to do is remove those suckers and water sprouts because those won't be flowering. Any crossing branches or crowding branches, because the more shade you have on a branch, the less it's going to flower for you. So open up the middle of those trees a little bit, and any errant branches that are going directions you don't want. You can tell the flower buds, especially on apples, because many apples have clusters or spurs of flower buds, and they tend to be a little bit bigger, and they tend to be projecting a little bit off of the branch, whereas a leaf bud tends to be right flat on the branch. So that way you can tell the difference. These trees produce a ton of flowers, so I wouldn't worry about it if you do have to prune out a few flowers here and there. But following those tips, I think you'll be able to have some success with it.
Awesome. And send your questions by visiting thepr.org, search All Things Gardening, and find the submission link at the bottom of the post. And listen again to All Things Gardening wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks, Charlie.
You're welcome, Mary, and I'll be seeing you in the garden.